We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
There are some audible boos coming from the crowd.
This is shocking to this crowd.
Your cheers, your boos. It's part of being in sports.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Dale Arnold.
Why don't we just change the whole rules because New England got better? Cry me a river.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Rich Keefe.
Tannehill. Under pressure, going to throw it deep, has his man open down the middle of the field for the touchdown.
Martha. Week after week telling us how great Shanahan is.
Where would you put Lamar Jackson?
MVP.
Leave John and Shime out of this because they were geniuses.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Is that true? Is that true?
Yeah.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
God, guys like Rex Ryan just couldn't gloat anymore if they tried, could they? He is so happy. You know, cry me a river. Win a game, Rex. You might still be coaching.
Oh, come on. Oh. Now you're taking it out on the wrong people here,
That's
Dale.
Probably true.
You're taking it out on the wrong guy.
Well,
the
you
refs
know,
you need
that's
to focus
friend of the
on.
Show, Rex Ryan, you're talking
about.
A little
about.
Salty, I'm not going to lie. It was not much fun to watch last night.
There's a lot to unpack, though, is there not? That was that game... A little bit of everything,
where
except for
start?
Offense.
I was going to say, do you start with the obvious, where we bitch about the refs for, I don't know, 45 minutes?
Well,
or do we dig deeper?
I asked you earlier before we went on the air.
Yes.
There is no way Jerome Boger gets a playoff game, right?
It's the NFL, Dale. I wouldn't rule anything out. He might specifically get a Patriots playoff game.
Just so they could say, see, you're not the boss of me.
I mean, yikes. There. I mean, you're right. I mean, that's an easy thing to look at, and it was... just egregious. And the ones that really drive you nuts are the ones that could just be overturned by replay.
Which would be both.
Which would be both.
Either if you had allowed it to get there,
and you don't
both.
Decide to do it. But, Dale, you said something when I first saw you that you thought...
I almost never think that officiating costs you a game.
Right.
Almost never.
Right.
This is one of those rare instances where I think it did.
I think it did, but as you like to tell...
You
I
do?
Was,
you think they would have won if the calls went differently?
All they're going to do is kick a field goal at the end, and I don't know. The Chiefs' offense
really
had gone in the tank.
No,
oh, yeah,
right.
Their second-half offense was non-existent.
I'll give you that. I personally, I haven't seen anything out of Kansas City yet. I think there's a chance we find out that Patrick Mahomes broke his hand or broke his thumb.
Yeah, he kept staring at it for a while.
That was bothering him. There. You go in at halftime, it swells up. You go in at halftime with 230 yards passing and then pick up 50 more.
But so I don't.
And he admitted, couldn't squeeze the ball, couldn't throw deep. I watched him myself come out of the X-ray room right after the game. So there was a concern there that he has broken bones in his hand.
So that could happen. But I don't think that you could guarantee a win.
Oh, you can't guarantee.
No, guarantee.
Okay,
but
well, you guys said they would have won.
I think the Patriots would have won if not for the officials.
So can we clean up that you couldn't get two touchdowns? You can get one. Well, you either could get a scoop and score touchdown on Gilmore.
Which I don't know if you would have.
I don't
People
think
are
you
guaranteeing
would have.
That one.
It
I'm
is,
like,
you can't guarantee.
They have four guys on the field that run 4.3 or less.
The fastest guy in the planet is between you and the end zone.
So Tyreek
and Patrick Mahomes, pretty good athlete.
And there was a lineman who wouldn't tackle him, but he'd get in the way.
Right,
slow
fall
him down.
You'd trip
him,
on him or something.
But anyway, let's say they get a little bit better field position. You're right. Then the N'Keal Harry play was that impending drive.
Right.
And by the way,
so Wiggy,
both
you
of the, yeah,
not
get 14
two touchdowns.
Right. And you got three out of it. Right. So it's not like you get 0 points.
Correct.
First
of
all, you got the ball. We've seen games where there's been like a scoop and score, and then the refs screw it up, and the team that got the scoop and score doesn't even end up with the ball.
Right.
So at the very least, they got the ball. They should have had better field position. Maybe Gilmore makes guys miss and scores a touchdown. I don't know about that. But then that negates the N'Keal Harry play,
right.
Which I will say this, as far as plays that are on the out of bounds line, not even that close.
No.
Like,
I mean,
there was so much room there. Like, usually
there are two guys standing there staring at
it. Right at it, at the 3 yard line. And even in real time, I was like, I think he was in. Then they showed one replay, which I know they couldn't go look at, but they showed one replay. You're like, there is all kinds of room between his foot and the line.
And the thing that annoys me is the excuse for the Harry play is essentially mechanics. Oh, the back guy is supposed to look at the line, but he can't see because the Chiefs defender dives across, so he's blocked. So now the guy at the pylon, who I think is supposed to focus on, get to the pylon,
right. Yeah,
wasn't necessarily looking at the foot at the three.
Although he immediately pointed it.
He did. Shouldn't have done that.
That's amateur hour.
But the problem I have there is if you're going to stick to your mechanics, then the mechanics on the scoop and score are that they've told these players
let
for three, 4 years.
Let it go.
Let it play out.
Yes.
Keep playing. Don't give up, and we'll fix it on replay. And that's why I talked to Daron Harmon for an extended period after the game. He was so upset. They come to tell us one thing when they visit on August 7th. They come every year, whatever that date is. They spend 3 days here, and they tell you one thing. And then when the rubber meets the road in
Harmon
an actual big game,
too.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll say a little less today. He actually said last night quite a bit and then said, I'm going to stop talking about this because I want to keep my money in my pocket.
Good point. You don't want to get fined. It's a tough spot for these guys
to be in. I don't want
him to get
fined.
This is one of the stories of the – yeah, I don't want to get fined.
I appreciate that he's willing to talk about things, and I don't want him to be scared.
But both of those plays – oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's so simple. On the N'Keal Harry play, you call it a touchdown.
Right.
Because then it gets reviewed. And then if he stepped out of bounds, sorry, no touchdown.
If you're not sure,
it's so
clearly
simple.
They weren't sure because they're looking at each other. And the one guy's like, I don't know.
They weren't
sure I don't know right here.
Of
like,
anything.
No.
What was it, three times
you gotta have
they
confidence.
Threw flags and then said, there's no foul.
Just pick it up.
Three times they picked up flags. Yeah, there is no penalty. Yeah. Then like, why was a flag on the
right
ground?
You clearly – and now, I kind of agree with them. Like on the Kelce one, the push in the back on Chung, it shouldn't have been a flag. Like, I kind of agree with them on that. I don't know about – they had a couple defensive holdings. You almost never see
multiples
of those.
Well, wasn't the worst call of the game we haven't even mentioned yet? The pass interference penalty against Dorsett? That was
I think
the worst
it was the
call
Harry
of the game.
One. No, I think the Harry one.
I think the Harry one.
N'Keal, obviously.
I think that was the worst.
No, I think the fumble.
No, the
Harry. We could argue for 4 hours.
We could. No, they're all – unfortunately, they're all good options.
It's like one of those WBZ fifth quarter polls. Which was the worst call by the officials?
They actually did that last night.
A, B, C, D, E.
Legitimate.
Did they have a big enough screen?
No, it was just ABC. But they also call it because, you know, God bless them. It's a hometown broadcast. They said the scoop and score. Like, he didn't score. Right. Anyway. No, I thought it was the Harry one because Harry did score. Like, that
he
was
did.
Legit a touchdown. That was not a touchdown. The other ones are more, well, what could have been? And so, again, they're horrible calls, but the reason why I don't think they win the game, even if the calls were right, is just because of what happened. So, the Philip Dorsett mugging. He got mugged, but what happened next? Tom Brady gets that big scramble, gets the first down. They have an opportunity. So
everybody's fired up.
But wouldn't you love to hear... And they won't do this. I want the NFL to tell me. I don't want them to apologize because that just pisses me off more. I want them to tell me, chapter and verse, that pool reporter thing with Mike Reese for Jerome Boger. Really? I want them to tell me, no, we didn't think it was interference. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, they
really?
Should have to, they should have to do a press conference. They should have to do a press conference like the players and the coaches.
It would have been great
do.
If the pool report was, I blew it. And then Mike goes, wait, you blew it? And he goes, yeah, I blew it. And Mike would have been like, I guess I really don't have any more
All
questions.
Right, that's it.
Gotta see myself
it, Your
Honor. Out. Yeah, that Homer Simpson in and out back to the hedge.
That's definitely
because they did. They blew it.
No, but my point is, so you have the Gilmore play, which again they should have let it go. They didn't. At least the Patriots get the ball. The Harry play, they screwed up, but they at least still had the ball at the 3 yard line. Jacoby Myers could have bailed all that situation out had he just caught a pass. You just catch a pass in the end zone. It's a touchdown and.
Right.
And we're forgetting about those plays. I mean, yeah, you're still upset about them, but at least the end result is a touchdown. So you have to settle for a field goal. And then the Dorsett thing, as bad as that was, you still had the ball. That wasn't fourth down. Brady has this huge gain of a first down. Place is going nuts. So it's almost like you get a little bit more momentum than just another pass interference call.
Bill was pumping his fist with Brady
and then
on the
you
sideline.
But then from there, you can't score a touchdown. So regardless of the calls, the only way they were moving the ball was calls and trick plays anyway.
Yes.
So I don't think they were going to win the game.
The first scoring drive, which you'd look at it on paper, you want to start fast. You go down the field to a touchdown. Pass interference. To a flea flicker, which I give them credit because they've actually run flea flickers and stuff this year that didn't work.
No, I know.
There was like, remember the one that...
They had the James White pass last night.
That was
night
nice.
As well.
I mean, they executed their trick plays because they have to.
That's
like,
it.
For the last month and a half, that's been the offense.
They're
go
Boise
back to like
State
Philly.
They're Boise State against Oklahoma.
Against real teams. Yeah. Against, you know, power conference teams.
In the Fiesta Bowl, they're running the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing now.
It's unreal, and I think that's what's being masked. You know, the huge one for me was, because this game could have played out on their September script. And their September script was offense might score once, but then the defense gives them a short field, and then there's a blocked punt, and all of a sudden it's 21-0, and the other guy's freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
Except they got the interception they needed, lost a yard, and punted.
Right.
They literally lost a yard,
they turned over
three and
Mahomes,
out punt.
Think about that. They turned over Mahomes. They got a blocked punt. Like that's why the game was close.
Right. But the offense right now is inept. And we can get to this later.
And it all starts in one place.
Uh-oh.
And I love me some Dante Scarnecchia.
Uh-oh, critical.
You can't make chicken salad out of chicken crap. And he's dealing with chicken crap right now.
I mean, he has before,
and that
offensive
line stinks.
But why?
Well, there are several reasons. It's never one thing, obviously.
Right.
The minute David Andrews went down, you took a huge step backwards.
Right.
You're now on your third string
and
center.
He's not an NFL center.
You're now on
your
third
one.
He's
just getting abused. Like, I mean, God bless him.
I've
but
been telling you that for...
I mean...
No, you're right. Listen.
Shaq Mason and Marcus Cannon have disappeared.
Yeah, I think both have...
Marcus Cannon's regressed.
...and or are playing through injuries.
Well, I'm sure
Cannon's
they are.
Still sick, probably.
This would be one of those, like, the hockey... You find out a guy has a surgery after the cup.
They must be, because... three of the five offensive linemen were a part of it last year, and they were great, and it was a really good offensive line, and all three are not as good.
Like
Tooney, Mason, Cannon. Like those three guys we thought going into the year were good, they're not.
Everybody thinks Joe Tooney's going to get a pretty big contract after this year somewhere, whether it's here or elsewhere. You already gave Shaq Mason a contract. So, yes, your center went down, but right beside
you
him,
two good
these
guards.
Two pillars.
You thought you had two good guards.
Right, and that's why it's like, because at least, like, let's put Scar and Brady in the same sort of situation. They've both made chicken salad in the past, right?
Right, right. Delicious.
And now we're
salad.
Both wondering, why aren't they making chicken salad? I think it's easier to say about Brady, his weapons stink. He's got Julian Edelman, but Sanu's done nothing. Harry's done nothing. Dorsett.
I mean, the Mohamed Sanu thing, by the way. Everybody told me that Mohamed Sanu is better than Emmanuel Sanders.
I didn't say that. What
sure
I said
everybody
was,
did.
No. What I said was the contract.
I didn't just say you said that. Everybody said
no. I didn't
contract,
say it was better.
The contract had nothing to do with it.
I think that was a big part of why
did it. We heard that Brady wanted Sanu.
So blame Brady.
I am then.
Okay.
I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is killing. He's throwing touchdowns out there.
And that's what Sanu's supposed to do.
I know. Sanu's useless. And maybe.
I think he's hurt, too. I think
could
he's
be
battling
hurt.
This
no,
ankle.
Could be hurt. So I'll take back the useless. Maybe he's hurt, but he is.
No, he's still useless.
He is useless.
No, if he's hurt or not, right now he is literally useless to the offense. He barely plays. He has like one catch a game.
I'll tell you what
There's
he does
there.
He does give you an easy, fair catch on punts.
Yes.
Isn't he really comfortable with that?
Which the
There's
funny
no
part was then.
He's just, whoop, he knows, he's like a good center fielder.
He
just
had one
the right
of those
spot.
In the second half where it was to the point where he was barely playing, and I was like, oh, he must be hurt. They've benched him.
Returning punts.
And then all of a sudden, and I was like, well, maybe they think it's not as much stress
Sanders,
on the ankle.
Man, they screwed that up.
Okay, you can't look elsewhere. You got to look within.
No, but that was one, again, because the Antonio Brown thing, that's a whole different debate.
Too?
I'm saying that's a whole different debate. I'm saying trade deadline, we all said the two guys that were going to be available were Sanders and Sanu. I thought it was a no-brainer. Sanders was a better player, has been his whole career, and the Patriots have been interested in him for a long time. And then he goes to, actually, no, they get Sanu here. And everyone's like, actually, Sanu was the Niners' first choice, too. I'm like, what are people seeing in Mohamed Sanu?
Yeah,
it
he's
wasn't,
fine.
I know you don't like the answer, but the big part of it was the contract
but who's
and the
that?
Amount of money. Well, that, I think that was a huge part of it here.
Yeah, I just wonder, are you trying to win right now? Like, based on all accounts, Tom Brady now has three games in a playoff game, as I said to you guys, which
could
if things go poorly,
road.
Could be a road wild card
road
game.
Wild card, yeah.
Left, aren't God. You trying to... finish strong here this year and then figure out next year?
Yes.
And, okay, AB is the dream. I heard you, Wiggy.
That's
Wiggy, I understand.
But
we've moved on. So the next tier.
Well, he hasn't. But
no, he hasn't. Most have. The next tier is what Rich said. You had Emmanuel
Sanders right
or
there.
You had Mohamed Sanu. You were willing to give up a 2. They gave up a 3 and a 5 to get him?
Yeah, it was definitely it was less. The
so
2 was the
I
highest.
Think if you were willing to give up a 2,
you
Emmanuel
got,
Sanders
I think
would be
you gotten Emmanuel
for a
Sanders.
Second round pick.
Yeah.
He isn't. I mean, he had that one little weird injury where he grabbed his rib in the middle of a game.
Who,
but,
Sanders?
Yeah. But he has always been the better player.
What,
he
had like
impact
a .47
guy.
Yesterday?
He's an impact
Saints?
Guy.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
He's close. We talk about it all the time, Batman and Robin. He's closer to Batman. Sanu, I'm not sure he's even Robin. He's
no, Robin, no.
Lower than,
he's Catwoman.
He gets the suit and hands it to somebody.
Deal.
No, he doesn't even get a suit. He hands the suits out to others, and then he goes, can I play too?
Just like a dude.
Right.
Just like a guy in the background. Yeah, so that's frustrating because that was an in-season fix maybe they could have made. Because if
so do you blame Brady for that? If the reports are true and he was the...
So that seems odd, though, that after the first time in 20
Brady
years,
gets to decide
he gets to
which
say.
One.
Yeah,
that's
I don't,
what Brady wants you to think now.
Yeah, I feel
but he said that every...
No, I know, but where do these reports come from?
No, I mean, maybe it's got...
People just make these up or do they hear things?
Maybe there's some truth to it, but I mean, I wouldn't... Belichick, I would assume, liked Sanu, too.
Oh, we know he likes
Rutgers guy. Of course,
Rutgers like him the whole time. Versatile, can play every down. So down player.
He's like a. And then the last play to Julian Edelman, I think, also speaks volumes of where this offense is, because
there were no other options.
It's the only guy for Brady to throw to, but for Julian Edelman and his skill set, one thing that I think separates him from being at that tippy top elite wide receiver, he's very, very good, if not great, but that's not a play that you run to him.
Look, no.
He, first of all, he tried to catch it with his body, which that's not going to work in that situation.
Right, and I still wonder how much ability he has to go up with two
I also,
arms
great
strong.
Point. I mean, so add it to the list.
I don't think he can.
I don't think he can either, which that's not on him.
No.
That's on why are you putting him in a position where he has to do that?
5'9", 5'10", let's run like a little like fade pass to him. Where the corner, all he has to do is like, boop, nope.
And that he was as nonchalant and as just comfortable knocking
down.
That ball away as you will ever
see. It was easy. There was that had no chance of being completed.
To me, I'm fine with Josh and Brady thinking, we got to go to Edelman. I can't trust anybody else.
But not on that.
But some
not
crossing the back of the end zone, throw it low where he slides underneath.
Pick
and you say,
play,
I'll give him a chance.
make him call
whatever.
A flag, throw a flag or something.
Something.
Not that. Like that one, even N'Keal Harry, who might not be able to come up with it, but he has more of a chance to do the basketball player box out, separate himself.
Because
that's one where
that
you have to go for the ball. Again, this will be the last time I mention his name, but Antonio Brown catches that pass.
Okay, so does Gronk.
Gronk catches that pass. Sure. No,
I mean,
you're right.
I thought you'd get mad. I didn't
know
you'd
you're right.
It, sorry.
They both do. And again, it's not even a knock on Edelman. He's hurt and he's small. Like,
no, I
or
think
short,
Edelman
whatever.
Deserves any accolades or lauding you can
tough
give him.
As hell.
He's the only guy out there. And every week, I look down and he's got like 95 yards receiving.
Yep.
When
he's double teamed nonstop.
Right.
He's going to be a Pro Bowler
like,
for the first time in his career this year.
First and 20 or 30 a couple weeks ago, and he just gets you 21 yards on his knees. Like,
yeah, no,
he
I
has
mean,
made
I,
plays.
I have no problem with him. It's not even him. I'm just saying that the play call, and on top of it, if he is hurt, which we all think that he is, or
oh,
we,
he
know,
is.
That
he,
we
is.
Know that he's hurt,
if you look
what
at
are you running
shoulder,
that play for?
Funny.
That is not a good play call to try to win.
Right.
So all those reasons, I think the refs did screw them, but the Chiefs would have won the game regardless.
Yes.
Patriots
put
sure
themselves
that.
In position.
I think that a field goal, obviously, we think Nick Folk will hit it, we think, at
hey,
the end.
Maybe.
And I like the Patriots' chances in overtime based on how the Kansas City offense performed in the second half.
Yeah, but you needed to get the Patriots to score in overtime.
Right.
I,
but
I
now you get a field goal. You only you. They must have another trick play. They probably have three, four trick
plays. Are they holding one out? For
Sanu hasn't thrown yet. Sanu has not thrown yet.
We are waiting on.
You
that
got
one.
That option.
No,
you haven't. True. They haven't thrown back to Brady this year yet.
That's true. That's true. They got to do that.
Let's not
try
do
that
ever.
He had a nice scamper. He was the what team's leading 17, rusher.
17 yards.
Yeah, and a 3-yard sneak.
Yeah.
No, he was
well,
second
17
on the team.
On
yeah.
The
he
one
had 20
play.
Yards.
Sony Michel would kill for a yards per carry
oh,
if whatever
him?
He was.
No.
Do you remember him? He was on the team in the playoffs last year.
Oh, does he have a
he was their running back last year in the playoffs.
Does he still have a number
no.
on the roster?
He does. No. And he had a number of carries on the first drive, and that number of carries led to absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
That swing pass, which was one of the early touches where he got, I think, a yard or no gain, like, there is just nothing there. There is no explosion, playmaking,
he's
maximization.
Like, can we stop with the, like, he's worse. Forget the fullback and the lineman. Yes, that would make his job easier, but he's worse than he was
yes.
a year ago.
Whatever.
It can't just be that.
To give the benefit of the doubt beyond the line and the fullback, he just, the knee, the bone on bone that Mike Lombardi talked about when he was drafted, I just think he doesn't have any burst, any
Man.
Ability to make an athletic play against athletic NFL players. Like, that's why.
So
I'm sorry.
First-round pick. Easy come, easy go.
We all have our broken horses that we beat down to the, where is Damian Harris? Why can't Damian Harris?
He was inactive.
Yeah, he was in a booth up by me
I was
watching
say,
the
sitting
game.
With you.
Why can't he be down on the field and hand the ball to him and see what happens?
And
could
know.
It be worse?
I'd give Brandon Bolden the ball more.
Ugh.
Got a nice little touchdown. Of course, he had the ball in the wrong arm.
If
but.
I were the Chiefs, I would have been embarrassed. I gave a jet sweep 10-yard touchdown up to Brandon Bolden. That's embarrassing.
Well, they stopped everything else.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. You get your opportunity to bitch and moan. You have carte blanche to bitch and moan today and probably have reason to for a number of different reasons. We are at Gillette Stadium. We haven't been here in like a month.
No,
we
are beautiful this time of year.
It's beautiful. It's we swam into the place. But we're down here at Gillette. James White will join us here in studio. Daron Harmon will join us here in studio. But we'll get to your calls in just a couple of minutes.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now back to Dale and Keith, WEEI.
Why don't we just change the whole rules because New England got messed over? I'm sorry, but give me a break. Cry me a river. Man, New England's never had a break. Oh, please, give me a break. I mean, we're not changing the rules or anything else. Yeah, was there some mistakes? Absolutely, and I loved it for one.
Little JT.
Obnoxious, really nice. Obnoxious Rex is like the worst kind of Rex, isn't it?
It's the only kind of Rex.
I was going to say, did you see Rex over the weekend? They were playing the Chargers coach.
Anthony Lynn?
Anthony Lynn. They did a feature on him where he's building a school in Africa.
Oh, sorry.
Want to walk that one back a little bit? Place where there's never been a school. He's working with Chris Long's Water Foundation. They're actually bringing water to. You want to ask why again?
I was going
to
say they might want to do it before he does no longer the head coach of the Chargers. But anyway.
So they come back from the feature and they cut to Rex and say, you know, former assistant with him, worked with him in Buffalo, I think, wherever they were together.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And Rex is blubbering and bawling like he couldn't speak.
Oh, boy.
He was crying his eyes out. And I was like, well, a different side of Rex.
Takes a real man to show emotion.
Right. Or a fool.
Either way.
I mentioned the...
building a school. Why?
That's a very nice thing, Anthony Lynn. You should be the person of the year.
I mentioned the Twitter site, footballzebras.com.
Well, they must be busy.
Who actually told us, you don't even know the half of the mistakes.
They actually wrote a whole article today. Yeah.
This is their season. Like, thank you, Jerome Bogart.
Oh, they loved yesterday.
Click on over. We could use the traffic.
They loved it.
The headline is Boger's crew with several misfires cast a shadow over the Chiefs-Patriots clash, and then they go through them one by one by one.
Oh, my God. How much time do we have?
I mean, I know Matt Chatham was, I think, half joking last night when he talked about the ineptitude of the officiating crew, and he said there should be people fired for this. It's reasonable to say people should lose jobs for this kind of ineptitude.
And it won't stun me if they do. Now, probably not this week. I don't know that you do that immediately. I think that's probably one of those postseason, what the hell happened there type things.
Yeah.
But I told you guys off the air this. I had a guy who was a former official sent me a long email about all the things that went wrong. And then also him reading into it some of the pressures, like maybe they've already sort of been on double secret probation and that putting this weird pressure to get it right and they're throwing flags prematurely. They're picking them up. Like they've almost lost the ability, you know, the game slows down for players when they're in the zone. They're not in that zone. Like, so fast, everything's happening, so just throw it and hope.
But there's, like, no consistency as far as, like, that. If that's your approach, right, that, like, oh, we got to be on our best behavior here, wouldn't you kind of maybe either let everything go and then leave it up to the review or, like the Gilmore play? You let that play out, and then it's a turnover. You can go back. The Harry play, it was a scoring play. You can review it, and if it has to go back – So that's why, like, the Philip Dorsett one, like, that was a horrible call. But I almost would be more in favor of not throwing the flag, not blowing the whistle, then going the other way and stopping the action and then screwing things up and taking points off the board.
I think they were in quicksand. The more they moved, the more they sunk.
Which is
the more they threw, the more they stunk.
It's counterproductive. You think you need to aggressively get out of there.
Felt like a
Yeah, that was good. You should put that in an article.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. Are there people upset about this?
Weird.
They watched the game?
One or two folks on the phone. Mike's in New Hampshire. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good.
What's going on?
Yeah, no, I had a question. I mean, do you feel like the season anyway, and there's no excuse for, you know, how the receivers did yesterday. I mean, there were definitely some drop passes and everything, but do you feel like the team, the coaches aren't coaching to the receivers' fullest potential this year? The reason why I say that is I know that receivers in the past, you know, there's definitely a history of them, you know, taking a while to get the Patriots playbook and just knowing the scheme and the system and Brady's expectations. But with the receiving core this year being so new, you know, a couple of them being rookies, I mean, they're going to need more time to get on the same page. Do you feel like their schemes should have been more tailored to that? You know, maybe dumbing it down?
I know, like when
Belichick did his CNBC interview, you know, he had mentioned when calling, you know, when doing the playbook, you know, yeah, you want to, you know, make it, you know, difficult enough where you're getting, you know, the defenders confused, but you don't want to make it so difficult where no one on the offense understands what to do either. So I don't know if it's just more making the plays a little bit simpler.
I hear that a lot, and the first thing I say is there anything more simple than a slant route?
Seems simple enough.
Because you asked N'Keal Harry to run a slant route, and it led to an ugly interception. And two games in the last three, I believe, you've had Jacoby Myers just run a pure drag underneath. Again, I think one of the simplest things, you take
should
a couple steps,
forward.
Turn to the inside and run across, I'll throw it to you, and it just bounces off their hands. Like,
yeah, there was a lot
how
of
do
drops,
you make it simpler?
A lot of drops yesterday. But then I think when you see a play like the N'Keal Harry should have been touchdown, and you say, why was that a one-time deal? Not that you run that exact same play, but my point would be, here is a designed play for N'Keal Harry. Maybe it's something a little bit different than that. Or here's a designed play for Mohamed Sanu. Let's try to get him going. Or here's a designed play for Jacoby Myers. If they did that, and that really should have been successful, why didn't you do more of that?
Well, I don't know how much for the Harry play.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that fast. So that's a fine play down there where I think you're trying to say, can he power through?
But like they're so bad in the red zone.
And he sort of did.
And he signed it sort of did. Those but my point is, do you run that at midfield or do you say, no, he's not going to get anything out of this at midfield? And I understand your question.
I'll just take a first down, though. I'll take a move in the ball.
I would agree. It's so bad. I actually tweeted this yesterday. There was a point, I think in the second half, where James White just ran a little turnaround on the left side, and it just bounced off his hands. And I'm thinking,
yikes.
If we can't complete that to James White, let's just pack it in, call it a day, shake hands with the Chiefs, and say good luck
in
the postseason.
Brady hit Edelman like in the hip, and like, he wasn't ready for it. And you're like, well, if these two guys, that's over with.
I know. I'm a McDaniels apologist, apparently, around
you
here.
You are,
I think he does a pretty good job. I think he's one of the reasons you've actually scored as many points as you have over the last month and a half. Otherwise, you'd really stink.
Yeah, 16 big ones against the Chiefs.
That seemed like sarcasm.
So is the Chiefs' defense good?
No.
No, right?
No, no, I didn't hell think so. No.
Okay. They look pretty good.
That's why we said the offense here is a mess.
They looked pretty good
was
yesterday.
Was the game plan to start correct?
The game plan to start? Oh, I think so.
I mean, was obvious. Come out and run the ball. Run it down their throats.
Yeah.
They give up
it so quickly. We've seen this happen
too,
a couple
when your
of
guy
times.
Has five carries for seven yards.
Yeah, he didn't do it. He didn't do anything
just
with it.
Just get a different guy.
They needed pass interference, flea flicker. Right. You can't do that. You can't rely on pass interference every single time down the field.
See, that's where, and this is convenient for me, I don't blame Josh for Damian Harris. That's a Belichick decision. Yeah. He decides who's active and who gets roles. I don't, like, what is Sony Michel doing that has earned him the right to start every game and then sit on the bench the rest of the game? Can't I start the game with Damian Harris and then see what happens?
Yeah, I don't know why Sonny Michel starts.
If I'm going to have to bench my lead back, my
although
workhorse.
I thought he looked good against Dallas. I thought he had a pretty good game against Dallas. I thought he showed some life against Dallas.
Yeah, I think we're looking. I think he gets a lot of credit now for if he doesn't go down at the line of scrimmage or whatever.
Bar is low. There is no doubt.
It
is very low.
And this is a team he ran for 100 yards twice last year against.
Yeah. Sliced them up in the playoffs.
Now he is.
5 carries, 8 yards.
Don't forget the swing pass. Don't forget the swing pass.
There's a swing pass in there for, says here, 1 yard.
Yeehaw. And by the way,
yard.
A swing pass to him is supposed to be a tendency breaker. You're supposed to catch him off guard. Whoa, whoa, no, we don't throw to Sony Michel.
Sniffed that out.
They tackled him at
the line. Probably shocked he caught it.
By the way, interesting fun fact from Tucker Boynton.
Doesn't feel fun.
The last time Jerome Boger reffed a New England Patriots game here at Gillette was also the last time they lost at Gillette. Against the Panthers in 2017.
Wow. He is the kryptonite, the Belichick Brady kryptonite.
Don't want to see him in the playoffs.
Jerome Boger. I don't think you will.
Honestly?
Really, it might only be a one game chance.
You think they're playing in the wild card round now?
No, they could also be one and done in the divisional round.
You're not wrong.
I mean,
well, they lost all the other division leaders.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're right. And they're going to have to play one of those teams in the divisional round.
And
likely.
You know, week to week, we try to judge their quality wins. So I think we've now settled on at Buffalo was the best win.
That's like half a quality win.
It's their last. It's really the only game.
Do you call it a
with.
Quality win?
I mean,
yeah, why not?
They're only a game behind you.
Josh Allen is so
and you knocked him out
bad.
Of that game, and he's not that bad anymore.
Did you watch yesterday?
No, but he's throwing
bad.
The ball to the other team four times a game.
No, he's just gunning it at his guys and just hitting them in the shoes and
it
throwing
happens.
It 10 feet over their head.
Shooter's got to shoot.
So that might be half of a quality win. If you want to call it a quality win, fine. Then that means Baltimore has like six quality wins.
Oh, Baltimore has by far
the best resume. Oh, they'd be number one in the
college
BCS.
Football, no question. No their doubt. Resume yeah. is bulletproof.
Yeah, so the Pats have one good win. They only had a chance. There's only four games on the schedule at this point that would have been considered good because all the NFC East is bad. Turns out the Browns are bad.
But for a while, we said at Philly was their best win, at least that week.
We did. Then they lost to the Dolphins.
Yeah, they're not good.
No, they suck.
Not ideal.
Yep.
Not ideal.
Cowboys was a good win.
Nope. Trash team.
Yep.
Turns out a trash team.
Oh, who are you talking about?
The Cowboys.
Oh.
Yeah. Why?
I didn't know if you were looking around seeing logos in this room and talking
no,
about trash
No, they're teams. Not a trash team. They're 10-3.
Is that where we're going with?
Yeah.
Good thing they played Luke Falk.
Hey, they played hard at the end. They didn't give up.
Good thing we piled up those stats against guys that had never played before.
Yeah, listen, they're not the best team in the league. They might be the sixth best team in the league.
Thereabouts.
We're sixth best. We're sixth best.
Hanging on the banner.
Speaking of which, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. James White will join us. Daron Harmon will join us. We get right back to your calls. Dale and Keefe. Hart's in the house as well. Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So Bill Belichick will be on with OMF this afternoon. Usually it's around 5:30 or so down here at Gillette Stadium. But he's already conducted his conference call with the media down here earlier today. And inevitably, you knew this was going to come up because Mike Reese was a pool reporter who had an opportunity to speak to Jerome Boger after the game. I've read Jerome's answer. It was very non-satisfying.
Oh, yeah. Unfulfilling. Very
horrible answer.
Yeah, it's not good
it
at all.
It wasn't an answer.
So Bill, of course, got the officiating question this morning.
Bill, I'm wondering, have you had any sort of conversation with Al Riveron since the game last night about why things were called the way they were called, the mechanics of what went on last night?
Yeah, the only those conversations that I have with the league I would treat those as private conversations. I mean, you talked to the officials after the game, or somebody did, and asked them questions. So that's that's your opportunity to do that. And so, you know, you should take advantage of it and see what they have to say if you have a question about it. But I wouldn't try to speak for somebody else. That's not really, I don't believe in that. So you have a question about something that they did or what they're, what, you know, if you have a question about it, I think you should ask them. And I think somebody, you know, did or should have done that last night. That's, you know, that's that important to you, then go ahead and do it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
I don't think Bill liked the pool report.
No, I think he was looking for a little more there, well, a little more pushback on Bogar.
I think his point was that there were several things you could have asked Jerome Bogar about, not just the N'Keal Harry play, which was apparently
that
the
was
only
all,
thing that,
that's
that
all
Reese
we saw,
asked
right?
him about.
I mean, you could have saw the Gilmore play, the Dorsett play. I mean, right. The Gilmore one.
The did you lose complete control of the game?
The Gilmore one, maybe even more significant. Well, I mean, they're all significant, but the Dorsett one, I think, is a simple. We see it all the time. Ref didn't think it was interference. One guy, they did. You did or you didn't think it was right. Pass interference. There's so much more nuance to the Gilmore play. You know, where does Travis Kelce catch the ball? Where is he going? Is he going? Is it a first down? Is it not a first down? Is it a fumble? And if it is a fumble, you know, where did Gilmore get it? Why is Gilmore not allowed to run with it? Right. Why didn't you let the play continue? Like, there's so much more to that play.
That's what I get back to. It's almost like a passing play. If you run the right route and drop the ball, okay, you dropped the ball. But you didn't run the right route. You didn't use the mechanics that you have expressed to the players, the teams, the coaches, that the way you're going to call this, we're going to let it play out and then make sure we get it right instead of definitely screwing the pooch and hurting the Patriots' chances.
Yeah, that one was so frustrating.
And he didn't have to answer for it.
No, he didn't have to answer. He just talked about the Harry one, and he gave some sort of crap answer about, you know, one guy was blocked by a defender. And you're like, well, guys are blocked by defenders on every play. Like, right. That's just the nature of it. How do you not see that? And again, you go back to it. Every single game, we see guys closer.
All their contingency plans here, right?
Yes.
So let's just say you take it for his word. The Chiefs defender slides across. The guy who's in the back, whose job is to watch inbounds or out of bounds, watch the sideline, can't see. Well, shouldn't fallback be pylon guy? If it's in question at all, call it a touchdown. We lost that guy.
We can check it.
Yeah, we can fix it. You know what I mean? Like,
but the whole point is he didn't see him go out of bounds, and yet that's the call. If he was blocked, then you don't know that he went out. You don't
know. No, I'm talking about the pylon guy.
Oh, okay.
I think his job there mechanically is
but
to focus
pylon
on the pylon.
But even pylon guy screwed it up.
Oh, he did.
Because pylon guy was pointing at, at where he went out.
Which he couldn't possibly have seen, and you know how I know that? Because it didn't happen.
Pylon guy needs to have some respect for himself.
And now, did I hear on the morning show that their pylon guy is like a Ravens fan and they're trying to turn it into...
Well, he's from Baltimore, so they turned it into he's
loves
a Ravens
the Ravens.
Fan.
So, wow. Yeah.
I think that's giving him a lot of credit. That all that process through his head, how he
screwed... Now he just batted
the way
his
they,
job.
The that's way they officiated the game... Yeah. I don't think he's capable of making a biased decision there in that short a period of time.
I don't think they're malicious. They're just bad at their job.
Is that true?
Yeah, it sure is.
Can I ask a question about the Philip Dorsett play?
Of course
you
can.
4 hours.
So I understand that it very easily could have been pass interference. It probably was
easily.
Pass interference.
I mean, it absolutely was pass interference.
I think it was.
But the way
by any definition.
But the way we've seen it on replay, I've argued calls this year. They may... But he jumps
by the way,
up.
Real speed replay, that would have been pass interference.
Andy's
too.
Rule, that would have been pass interference, yes. But why does he jump up looking this way, and I'm pointing in front of me with my hands. I know it's radio.
Radio.
Help.
Describing it.
Yes, yeah.
And
you look
ball,
very athletic right
the
now.
The ball goes way behind him.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to catch it, but I think...
No, I don't care about him catching it.
Okay.
Why was he not going in the direction of the football?
I don't know.
I found that curious at the time. It was almost like he decided, the ball's irrelevant, I'm going to get the... PI call here. I'm just going to make, you know, a guy go into the hoop who gives up on the layup just to create contact.
Right.
Because
you're a big stock watch guy. Whose stock has fallen more, Sony Michel or Philip Dorsett's?
In my mind?
Yeah.
Because I never had any faith in Philip Dorsett to do anything.
See, he made some nice plays.
I personally was with the team. When they gave him the opportunity to step up in Julian Edelman's absence a year ago, and he fell on his face miserably, and they went out and said, "We got to go get Josh Gordon. Holy crap, we stink."
Yeah.
That's how I felt. Sony Michel.
A nice little playoff run, though.
Sony Michel carried you literally.
Yeah.
Carried the football to
marks.
A Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And now he can't get you
but
more
you
than
remember,
2 yards.
Do you remember earlier in the year, Greg Bedard wrote an article about how Philip Dorsett should demand a trade because he
I don't actually.
Yeah, he was like, he needs to get the ball more, and he's like a great receiver. Yes, he had this whole thing about.
That's Philip, a real thing?
Yeah, he's like, Philip Dorsett Dorsett needs to like stamp his foot and demand the ball more because he is a great receiver. It's a real thing.
Philip Dorsett should, you know, get on his knees and say thanks to the Lord every day that he's a regular rotational receiver.
Thanks for playing and paying me.
If Myers and Sanu and Harry weren't worse, I think Philip Dorsett just stands with one of those big coats on the sideline and waits till somebody calls his name.
Another first-round pick, though.
And I hate saying this because he is one of the nicest men in that locker room.
Oh,
and
my God. Who cares? Who cares?
They're human beings. I feel bad.
But we're not talking about the human being part of it. We're talking
about
the
human beings.
I don't really
care. Guys building a school in Africa, you don't want to know.
All right, I apologize for that. That guy's a great humanitarian.
Oh, I forgot. You would take Sandusky as your D coordinator if he was any good.
I never would take Sandusky. No, I wouldn't.
Did you or did you not say that in the past?
No, I've never said that.
Was it OJ you would take?
Well, he's a good back. He's one of the top 12 backs all time.
That's true. He's on the top 100 team, right?
As voted on by Belichick.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly.
Guy could watch five straight games.
Five straight.
It's happened maybe once.
Zero, and if it happened before, it was like 0-2 or
0-1. 0-1? Yeah, 0-2.
That's the longest streak in the Tom Brady era.
I believe it.
Of five. Now, they've had a couple of fours.
Okay.
Right.
But Boston Sports Info broke it down. It is the longest streak of the Tom Brady era of scoring 22 or fewer
points.
It's
abysmal.
And he's with a team that gets turnovers, defensive scores, short fields, blocked punts. What's the record? Is this the record for blocked punts? They've got four freaking blocked
punts.
They have
more. No, five now, right? Or is that punts and kicks? I think they have more than the rest of the league combined.
Yeah, they do.
By the way, Belichick like said on the conference call today, he thinks Baltimore was running a fake punt on the play that Nate Ebner blocked it. He thinks the plan was for them to run a fake punt on that play.
Wow, then they screwed the pooch there, too.
They really did a great
Holy
job
Moses.
With that.
This is, so we just talked about all this, like longest streak scoring less than 22 points, all these things.
Boston Sports Info, for the
can
numbers.
Can we take two seconds to crap all over my Patriots coverage partner on WEEI.com? Who's,
of course. Wow.
Who's Hannah B. or whatever.
Hannah B. He's your co-host on the off-day pod?
Yeah, and we fought. It may not be a good podcast, depending on how you like bickering arguments.
Uh-oh.
We fought for a good 20 minutes. Like, he felt better about this team's chances coming out of that game.
I'm sorry, better?
I saw a couple of people take that tack
Fourier,
last night.
I think, yesterday on the post-game on the...
But at least he's on the team post-game, collects a paycheck.
Yeah, they were talking about the Gilmore scoop and score.
I mean... How could you leave that game and say
feel better about it?
Yeah, I think if they need to win three playoff games in a row against good teams, they're going to do it.
So the one thing I feel...
How about one? I don't feel good about one.
I don't feel better at all, but the way the defense played against an elite offense, I think they had their moments there.
And I'm convinced that the reason that they got better was because his hand is hurt.
He broke his hand.
All right. Dale, don't take that away from me.
He got all swole on him and he couldn't throw.
No, because this defense, earlier in the year, even though it was second and third string quarterbacks, I thought this defense could win it for you as long as the offense isn't the worst in the league, which it might be.
No, it's
but not. That's not. But this defense could win it for you. And then after Baltimore and Houston, I was a little bit more shaky about it. And I was like, all right, it's a good defense, but maybe it's not a great defense. And then I thought they did a pretty good – I mean, they kept Tyreek Hill in check. You know, I think they did a decent enough job.
In the second half.
Problem is – yes.
They gave up 230 yards passing in the first half.
No, I understand. The problem is –
you know that's on pace for nearly 500 yards passing.
I didn't crunch those numbers.
Double it. When it's in halves, it's really easy. You just go times two.
No. What if they go to overtime? It's very confusing.
And they might get 600.
They might get even more. But, no, I mean, honestly, there's not a lot of positive takeaways to have there.
So, GRD.
They lost a home game, which they never lose at home.
Right.
They lost to another division winner who might have an injured quarterback who has no run game. What we thought was a trash defense.
Didn't get their equipment until game time.
Barely had their helmets.
Didn't warm up. Had never lost before in their blues.
Yeah. By the way, is it true they would have had to forfeit the game?
I think that's what I said, but I don't think they
would have had to
literally
forfeit,
because they had a
forfeit win, pass win.
I mean,
it was in New Jersey, but
but they had 25 bags here or 27 bags here. It was more than half.
So they could share helmets.
No, I don't think you can do that because that's a league rule.
Oh yeah, right.
Right.
But the guys who were there could try to play.
My 11 guys need to get out there.
It's like Hoosiers.
And you just hope that Mahomes has his helmet and Hill has his.
And by the way, just to get this out of the way, because they would have been blamed if the equipment hadn't shown up. This had nothing to do with the Patriots.
How do you know?
Because even the Chiefs admitted they screwed it up.
Well, what else are they going to say? You don't want to be a sore. And you get snookered like that.
That is
even
bad.
Where did they fly into? Did they fly into?
I assume Providence, but I don't know that.
What's that? It's the official airport of the New England Patriots. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but their equipment was in New Jersey.
Yeah, they should have sent
that. That's because they didn't get it off the plane.
They should have sent it to the Bahamas.
Who gets it off the plane?
Well, it's a combination of the group of equipment guys and some help from traditional staffers.
Do you think the next...
So if staffers from TF Green, the official airport of the New England Patriots.
Oh, for God's
signed,
sakes.
Sealed, and delivered in a
try hard.
Do you think the next Kansas City Chiefs road game, they all just wear their equipment to the
game?
Yeah,
we should probably do that.
They all just wear their helmets and pads.
You're responsible for your own.
Get on the plane.
Like high school. You bring your bag. That's your bag. You're responsible. Now, you forget your cleats, that's on you.
So they won. So
the Chiefs did?
Yes.
Yeah.
So at what point does this ever turn to one of those things that you laugh about if you're the equipment guy and Andy Reid?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. They're probably
you don't get to laugh about this one.
Having a beer right now.
Maybe if you win the Super Bowl and you're doing a DVD and it's part of like the Super Bowl DVD, the fun. You remember when we forgot the equipment on the plane and we all forfeited?
You don't think next game they did the old thing? Like,
no.
Guys, uh-oh. No. Like, just kidding, Tyreek. It's right here.
Because I got to tell you, you know I'm a wise ass.
You are a little bit.
My mouth gets me in trouble.
Sometimes.
It happens.
Yeah.
We were walking back from the locker room and the equipment truck is parked right outside the Chiefs locker room, back open, and they got all the bags in there and they loaded
it up. I saw
the
video of them
running. And
there's
a guy on the top and there's another guy down. Clearly they're equipment guys, and I was this close to making a wise ass remark.
There you go, fellas.
Probably too soon.
Good job,
guys. I didn't. I thought better of it.
They would not have been in a good mood at
that point. No, I don't think so. I don't.
They would have been in a good mood about the win, but not about their part in the win.
Yeah, because their part almost really went awry. Can you imagine that? Their equipment
I have never heard of a team forfeiting a game.
I think the refs still had a worse day than the equipment guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh,
yeah, because at least they got the equipment.
And more people saw that.
And they won. Although you could argue the refs won.
Refs did, yeah. Refs are undefeated.
Collected their paycheck.
Yeah, they're doing just
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're at Gillette Stadium. It's a Patriots Monday. James White will join us here in studio. Daron Harmon will join us as well. Andy Hart is with us. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.